Title of the message today is Testing for Overload, Physical and Spiritual. As we near the end of this year, I hope to bring a blessing to you, and physically and spiritually. Heavy metals test. Let's read our text for today. Let's stand, please, Church of God. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read together. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Father, be with the preaching. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. The Bible's saying we got to race. You're not racing to be saved unless you're lost. Obviously, you need to figure out how to be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the book of Hebrews is written to believers about how to overcome, be victorious in your Christian life, and win the prize of the high calling, which is the world that is to come, as he says in Hebrews at the beginning of the book. And it's very important to understand that this is talking about you winning the prize, the race, as it says in 1 Corinthians 9. Now, you can be weighted down. Sin will definitely keep you from running this race and being found worthy at the judgment seat of Christ. But there's all kinds of weights. There are things that may not be sinful, but they're not expedient. They don't help you. And you can get weighted down with some things in your life that are not helping you. In fact, they're helping you sin. So the Bible is telling us, as the title here is Testing for Overload. Are you weighted down? Nobody that wants to win a race is going to fill up his belly, and I mean, he's going to make sure he's as light as he can be. He's going to do everything he can. He's certainly not going to carry around a backpack or something, you know. So the idea here is to examine ourselves, test ourselves. It says in 2 Corinthians, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. That's disqualified. You don't want to be disqualified, rejected in this race. No, no, we got a spiritual race. We have a battle, a fight. And you need to know whether or not you are weighted down with sin. I intend, as we often do, to use the physical as an analogy for the spiritual. But when I say spiritual, I don't mean that it has nothing to do with your physical life. I use spiritual as this all-encompassing sense. It includes your physical responsibilities. It's all intertwined. The Lord showed this. Remember our text in Luke 21? He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Talk about being weighted down. Your heart can be overcharged physically and spiritually. With surfeiting. Drunkenness, cares of this life, so that day come upon you unaware. See, the physical intertwines with the spiritual, and it becomes a weight in your life. And the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ready for. You'll end up in the tribulation period. He says, watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. That's the earthquake. That's the hurricane. That's the persecution. And most of all, The deception. See, don't puff up yourself and say, I can handle all of this. No, you pray in humility to be accounted worthy to escape all these terrible things that are coming and to be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus, to stand before the Son of Man. At the end of this sermon, the Lord is talking about being ready for His coming. And again, I remind you, that he says one of the things, these cares of this life, they can become weights and keep you from understanding and watching for the Lord. This surfeiting, which we've seen last few weeks, to sicken or disorder by overfeeding or as unwholesome food, poisoning yourself. The Lord says that physical can affect your spiritual. It can bring temptations to your life. You want to be healthy. You want to eat healthy. You want to take care of yourself, not let yourself go. Let's look at this in the physical, but let's get down to the microscopic level for a moment. And I believe it'll show us some things very important that we could compare or use in our spiritual life. Every weight, lay aside every weight. Be not overcharged. Heavy metals. Notice they're called heavy. I mean, we're down into microscopic, right? But this is all going to apply in your life. There are weights that keep you from doing your job, what you're called to do before the Lord. This microscopic world is a picture of the larger world. Your cells have work to do in your body. Oh, they have intense. I mean, they have work to do. They need to be busy. They need to do their job. They don't need to be beset by weights. They don't need to be hindered, weighted down. Heavy metals. I mean, this world, it's being cursed right now by man. And God, because of sin, is judging the world, but nothing like He's going to do. Nothing like He's going to do in the tribulation period that's coming. But right now, God says He's going to destroy those that destroy the earth. Your food supply, your air, your water, it's all going to hell. And I believe God will provide for us, but it's going to take diligence. Just like in the spiritual world, there's deception everywhere. In the physical world, which is a picture, I tell you what, things are becoming toxic like you would never even come close. I don't believe, even with the preaching I do here, I don't believe that you have come close to understanding how toxic this world is spiritually and physically. So what happens is, as heavy metals begin to accumulate within your body, they begin to weight down your cells, keeping them from doing their job in your body. Symptoms, minor symptoms, are numbness in your hands and feet, dehydration, weakness. Apply that to your spiritual life. I tell you what, you do not want numbness in your hands and feet. You got work to do for God. You've got soul winning to do. Dehydration. I mean, not having the Word inside of you, the water of the Word. Weakness. We have spiritual weakness. People not able to resist temptations. Just as this heavy metal poisoning is weighting down the cells and bringing these symptoms, it's the same in your spiritual life. Now, when we say heavy metals, what are we talking about? Heavy metals include mercury, cadmium, arsenic, chromium, thallium, a terrible poison, lead, aluminum. There are some things like iron, zinc, that you need some of, but you don't want to overdo those things either. But these are mostly terrible, horrible things that you do not want in your body. The problem is they bioaccumulate. Small concentrations over time can have a horrible impact on your life. They continue to build up, and you continue to eat. You don't fast, you continue to eat, you never cleanse yourself, and what happens is they begin to build up, and your cells say, I can't do my work anymore. You end up with minor problems, and before long, you end up with very, very serious problems. Crank it up a little bit over that little preacher down there we got here, sweet little girl. Consumer Reports just the other day. Dangerous heavy metals in chocolate from Hershey's, Theo, Trader Joe's, and other popular brands. Scientists recently measured the amount of heavy metals in 28 dark chocolate bars. They detected cadmium and lead in all of them. Those are two things you don't want any of, okay? For 23 of the bars, eating just an ounce a day would put an adult over the harmful level. What about a child? What about a child? What happens when you get these metals? They cause developmental problems affecting brain development, leading to lower IQ. Maybe that's one problem we have with this generation here. Their attention is gone. Their understanding is gone physically, not to mention spiritually. Frequent exposure to lead in adults can lead to nervous system problems, hypertension, immune system suppression. Not only do you get sick more, but it also leads to an immune system that's out of control, responding to things it should not be responding to. Kidney damage, reproductive issues. If you aren't a frequent consumer of chocolate, lead and cadmium can still be a concern. It can be found in many other foods as well, especially in this day and age. One good thing, it's not in the cocoa butter. So you can still take cocoa butter, sweeten it, and that type of thing. But we got a problem here. We got a big problem. See, what happens is the cocoa plant takes this stuff from the earth wherever it is, certainly in a polluted place. But it can start building up cadmium even in a place that isn't polluted. And it gets stored in the actual cocoa. So cocoa powder, these types of things, you know. These heavy metals that are found are neurotoxic. Neurotoxic. They wreak havoc on the entire nervous system in the brain. They start damaging your immune system. As this paper says, while most studies on cadmium toxicity have focused on organ and tissue damage, it's also your immune system that's grown great attention recently. Cadmium accumulates in immune cells, modulates the function of the immune system, triggers immune responses, and leads to diverse health problems. We just don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. Another paper says prolonged exposure to cadmium was associated with significantly decreased serum levels of estrogen in women here. Harmful effects of this heavy metal have been observed even at low levels of exposure. So these heavy metals, they just came out with an article the other day. Research, they said, is just game-changing research. And it shows that the women are getting dementia because in middle age, their estrogen decreases anyway, but now you have these xenoestrogens that are replacing estrogen. And so now they're showing how that causes dementia in the brain. One more thing that does that. Well, these heavy metals are bringing it down even more. Harmful effects of this heavy metal have been observed even at low levels of exposure. So you just don't want these things at all in your body. Another paper says cadmium has a long biological half-life, mainly due to its low rate of excretion from the body. What this means is, in most studies, the half-life of cadmium in humans is estimated at a range of 15 to 20 years, if not 30 years. What they're saying is, that's how long it takes for just half the levels to not be in your body, active levels. So that's a long time. This stuff's building up. It takes a long time. So it accumulates, is what they're saying. Exposure to cadmium severely affects the function of the nervous system. Minor things will be headaches and vertigo. You lose your sense of smell, Parkinson-like symptoms, decreased balance, equilibrium, decreased ability to concentrate, and learning disabilities. Is that what kids need today in a world of iPads and Facebook and TikTok? You need them to now have learning difficulties? Just one more thing that's causing learning problems. Higher concentrations of hair cadmium were reported in children with mental retardation and learning difficulties. Investigators also reported associations between hair cadmium concentration and children's performance on visual motor tasks. They're finding it in the hair, where it'll eventually end up, hopefully, if not stay in the fat and organs and various cells of the body. It's been linked to anemia, Alzheimer's, cognitive decline, behavioral problems, kidney dysfunction, Parkinson's, heart disease, neurological issues, damaged ability to learn, cancer, diabetes, organ damage, even a small amounts disrupt your hormones. Associations have been found with heavy metal, increased allergies, anxiety, insomnia, frequent colds and flu. It disrupts the delicate balance of your gut bacteria. Researchers estimate that a third of breast cancer is associated with just high cadmium levels. The Journal of Aging. Egyptian Journal tells us for the vast majority of cases of autism today, there is no strictly genetic explanation. Abnormal high levels of lead, mercury, and aluminum. Low level of zinc were detected in the autistic featured group. You can just sit in the back, sister, if you want. What they're saying is there's an association with autism with these high levels of lead, mercury, and aluminum, while low levels of zinc in autistic children. One of the sad things is that these heavy metals deplete your own antioxidants in your body. You have a master antioxidant called glutathione. What they found out is where these heavy metals are high, the very thing you most need in this toxic world goes way down, causing all kinds of problems in the body. Glutathione controls just about everything in your body. So where are these heavy metals found? Toxic Journal says among the agricultural sources of heavy metals, they're found in fertilizers, especially the non-organic fertilizers, these chemical fertilizers. They're found in the pesticides they're putting in the food. They're found in sewage sludge. These are the most common sources. So now, in a day and age when you've already got pesticides, chemical fertilizers that are corrupting the food supply, you've got some people, devil-possessed, that say, why don't we use sewage sludge for fertilizer? So the law for organic says you are not allowed to put sewer on the food. All other conventional food, you are allowed to use toxic sewage sludge. That's not only human waste, it's industrial waste. It's everything that goes in the toilet and everything buildings spit out, factories spit out. This is what's in the food supply. And you're wondering why people are having trouble today. Arsenic is found in topical creams, insecticides, pesticides, rice. Thallium, a horrible poison, is found in pesticides. This cadmium and lead, but especially cadmium, is found in jewelry now, costume jewelry. Even where it's supposedly outlawed, it's still showing up. You get documentaries on it all the time. And children, but even adults, take that jewelry and they begin to put it in their mouth, chew on it, and things like that. Or they put it in the mucous membranes where that cadmium is bound to go right into the body. And then we haven't even begun to discuss cosmetics that are largely unregulated. You don't know what's in them. Put it all over your body, you know, seeps into your pores. Nutrients in 2019 says foods that contributed most to total cadmium intake were lettuce, spaghetti, bread, potatoes, tortillas. How you say that? Tortillas? And rice. Do Due to the chronic nature of dietary cadmium exposure combined with the long half-life, how long it stays in your body, cadmium can accumulate in multiple tissue types, contributing to the development of cancer, kidney dysfunction, heart disease, reproductive dysfunction, diabetes, osteoporosis. Potatoes and potato chips were also among the top cadmium contributors across all age groups. So not only do you get diabetes, not only do you probably get arthritis eventually, not only does your blood sugar go out of control and probably your weight and everything else, but now you're getting cadmium in your body to disrupt everything. Now, you might say, you know what, that's enough for me to just say forget it. You're all going to die. Let's just not care about anything. I don't think that's the spirit God wants us to have in these last days. Are you going to do that spiritually? You know what? Everywhere you look is just androgyny and lewdness. And, you know, why don't we just stop trying to avoid it all? It's everywhere. You can't go to the mall. You can't go anywhere. You can't listen to the radio. You can't do anything. It's everywhere. No, I think God understood this would happen. And I believe our God expects us to do what we can to avoid sin and toxicity, whether it's in physical things or spiritual things. This is no time to be discouraged, to give up. It's no time to throw in the towel and let an entire generation of children be infected spiritually and physically. It's time, when the going gets rough like this and you're in perilous times, it's time to man up, says the Bible. God says, put your pants on. Gird up your loins like a man. Yeah, it's rough. An FDA study says it's in spinach and mainly wheat cereal. Of course, that's full of toxic Roundup and everything else. Journal of Toxicology said they also accumulate in hair and toenails, arsenic and mercury, which both, for example, can both be used as indicators of long-term exposure. Don't believe what Big Pharma tells you. See, I believe if you are... You ought to do it anyway, just because of the toxic age you live in. But one of the main things you can do in life right now, if you have any affliction whatsoever, is to eat 100% organic. After that, go get tested and say, I want a urine test. I want a blood test for heavy metals. I want a urine test for heavy metals. And I'm not just going to depend upon that. I want a hair test for heavy metals. And then go get another hair test for heavy metals. In other words, look and see at least some possible signs of what's in your body so you know what to fight. And if you said, you know what, I haven't been eating organic and I just eat whatever is out there and I really been, you know, I haven't been responsible in regard to these things, I certainly haven't been diligent, then you can be sure that probably your children and you are probably off the charts with some of these things. Who knows what's in your organs? Who knows what's stored throughout your body? But you can start getting some sign of what's there by testing. But here's the problem. Whatever realm you're in, the love of money is the root of all evil. If you're in a mafia-controlled medical system, it doesn't mean they don't do good things sometime. It doesn't mean they can't save lives sometime. But when you walk in and say, I have an affliction, you're going to get a pharma drug. That's all they know how to do. They sell pharma drugs. Their education, the schools, everything was funded by Big Pharma. One mother had a child with severe neurological problems I just read about. She finally got so sick of the doctors and watching her child suffer, she went and took hair tests, multiple tests. And it says it's off the charts with heavy metals. She says, okay, I'll go take another one. Come back the same thing. So she came back with these charts, went to her neurologist and said, look at this. You're giving me drugs that are full of heavy metals and other things that cause this heavy metal buildup inside my child. Not to mention all these other side effects. The neurologist was very dismissive. Said, I really don't know anything about heavy metal toxicity. Those were her words. Why would she know anything about that? Her education is designed to sell pharma drugs. Now, there are things we can do to help. But I don't want you to just rely upon the things that help, and so you say, therefore, I don't have to avoid. See, there's things that help the moral contamination that you get in this world. Going to church, reading the Bible every day. But God does not expect you to say, you know what, I can go listen to whatever I want because I just read the Bible today. Well, I went to church on Sunday, I got convicted a little bit, but now I can go throughout the week, do whatever I want. That makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't work. Even if it works a little bit. Imagine somebody saying, you know what, I found out you could put dead sea salt water on your poison ivy. It'll dry up pretty quick. There's jewel weed. There's all kinds of things, plantain, that'll really help. So since I know how to get rid of it pretty quick, I'm not going to worry about poison ivy. No. The common person that gets afflicted, that's allergic to poison ivy, don't want to be anywhere near it. He doesn't want to breathe it. You understand? I don't care if I can get rid of it pretty quick. I don't want to breathe it. I don't want to be anywhere near it. That's how you ought to be with poison, spiritual poison and physical poison. Imagine if you said, you know what, I think if you took a lot of echinacea and then ran as fast as you can, had somebody fly you to the emergency room, you could probably live with a snake bite. Does that mean you're not going to watch out for snakes? Rabid animals? See, there's remedies that we have, but that's only part of the battle. You have to try to avoid. You say, well, that's going to really handicap my life. Well, you know what? Try going to a mall. Try going anywhere. We're handicapped spiritually. We can't do a lot of things we used to do. There was a time in the Bible when a Christian could be a chamberlain, a treasurer, things like that. Then there came a time when you couldn't be involved in anything. We're almost there now. So one of the remedies is fasting. There have been studies that showed that people that fasted, long-term fasting begins to totally delete the heavy metal poisons that are inside their body. When you fast, God expected us to fast and cleanse ourselves. That doesn't mean live like the devil and then go fast, but fasting is an important part of our life. I need to do it more. We all need to do it more. Then, as we said, how about starting by doing everything you can to stay away from food with toxic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and sewer sludge all over it? One journal says, in conclusion, organic crops on average have higher concentrations of antioxidants and lower concentrations of cadmium and other toxic metals, lower incidence of pesticide residues and non-organic comparators across regions and production seasons. Praise God for that. Organic has less heavy metals. It doesn't mean heavy metals can't get into organic food. It can. I mean, anywhere there's a galvanized tank that you put it in, you know, galvanized, cadmium. However, heavy metals were found to be 48% lower in organic produce. You need those numbers. Your body needs that 48% lower, believe me. The antioxidant levels of organic food are 69% higher, according to research studies. Do you realize what I just said? The very things that help you fight toxic metals and pesticides are 69% higher in organic food. So as you fast, as you eat organic, or even better if you can find it, then understand that you have your master antioxidant, glutathione. Now, it's a rock in the hard place. You do not want heavy metals decreasing your glutathione, but you need glutathione to fight against heavy metals. and other things. It's the master antioxidant in your body. What does it need? It needs sulfur. For your master antioxidant to work, it needs sulfur. So you're at a war here. Toxins, heavy metals are trying to get rid of the enemy that they know's there. They want him gone. You've got to build up your glutathione. How do you build it up? By sulfur. Where's sulfur found? In garlic, in onions. The Bible says they ate garlic and onions in Egypt, and they were strong. They were strong. The Egyptians looked at them and says, look at these Israelis. They are strong. So glutathione needs garlic, onions. It needs selenium. 2 Brazil nuts a day gives you the selenium you need. I wouldn't take any more than that. You don't want to overdo it on selenium. So now when you're getting your sulfur, you're getting your selenium, now you've given your glutathione the boost it needs. Your body says, thank you. Now you can press it into overdrive with raw milk and raw eggs. Raw milk and raw eggs have something in them that send this glutathione to its peak. He said, I can't do dairy. I would do raw eggs, clean raw eggs. Get with one of these folks here. See if you can work out something to get some raw eggs that are clean. 2 Brazil nuts, raw eggs, raw milk, and lots of organic garlic and onions. Fight the heavy metal toxicity. Fast. Build up your glutathione. I could show you hundreds of these studies. Scientific World Journal says garlic prevented cadmium-induced kidney damage and decreased the oxidative damage due to lead in rat. They poison these animals and then give them garlic and onions and see what happens. It's amazing. So you got fasting, you got glutathione, fiber. Researchers found that fiber reduced mercury levels in the brain and blood. Fiber goes through your body and chelates it. Chelate comes from the Greek word for claw. It just grabs it and pulls it out of the body. Fiber. However, not just any fiber. They tested it with flax. They said, hey, there's a lot of fiber in flax. You know what? Flax is clothes in the Bible. Don't eat your clothes, okay? They gave people flax, or they did these studies with flax, and it did the opposite. Flax caused the body to increase in these levels. So get your glutathione, get your fiber, fast. Foods high in B vitamins, B1 and B6, bring down heavy metals in your body. Find out what those healthy B vitamin foods are. Make some smoothies out of them. Sugar depletes your B vitamins, by the way. So there are people that will give you a chemical chelation and that type of thing, but you want natural food chelation, you know. There's something called flavonoids, but you don't just do any flavonoid. You do the healthy ones. They detoxify heavy metals by acting as natural chelators. Turmeric. We've already seen it stands just about against everything, you know what I mean? It helps chelate your body from heavy metals. Black seed, we've already seen all the things that it goes against. Take black seed every day. Organic and wild berries, onions, citrus peels. Get organic oranges and organic citrus fruits and wash them and dry them or just throw the whole thing in a smoothie and get those citrus peels working in your body to bring that level of heavy metals down. How important that must be for any affliction. For any affliction. The first thing you say, what would you do? The first thing, well, if you're not bleeding to death, the first thing I would do is eat organic, and then I'd go get tested for heavy metals, And before I got tested for heavy metals, I would already start putting some important things in my body to build up my own immune system, my own glutathione. I would start already attacking poisons that I know are somewhere in my body. Current chemical biology says black seed, Nigella sativa, protects against cadmium-induced renal toxicity in rats. Kidney damage. These heavy metals really go after the lungs and kidney and liver. Now, you know small amounts of zinc and iron and selenium are crucial for your health. Many studies in both animals and humans have shown that a deficiency in essential metals such as zinc, calcium, iron can lead to greater absorption and toxicity of cadmium and lead. Therefore, it's logical to suggest supplementation with essential metals can provide protective effects against cadmium and lead intoxication. In other words, make sure you're getting the zinc and selenium you need, and that will help bring down because, again, like with glutathione, it's at war with your zinc and other things in your body. Intake of zinc causes detoxification by binding to cadmium. It's also believed that selenium may form inactive complexes with heavy metals, which can further enhance their detoxification. So, what are we saying? Take your garlic, take your onions, take your raw milk, take your raw eggs, build up your glutathione, be sure to fast. Get some fiber, some good fiber, and some good B vitamins, and start going after these flavonoids, this turmeric and black seed and wild berries and onions and citrus peels. Build up your zinc. Make sure you got enough zinc. Make sure you got enough selenium. Other essential metals such as calcium and magnesium have also been reported to be effective against cadmium and lead. It should also be noted that cadmium and lead exposure cause the loss of essential metals, which leads to complications such as iron deficiency anemia. So you say, I think I'm eating enough of this stuff, but you're getting these heavy metals. It's getting rid of it in your body, leading to osteoporosis and all kinds of things. Some of these studies go on to say, we found that ginger detoxifies these heavy metals in your body. Grapes and those types of things. Ginseng, by the way, detoxifies it. These are all important strategies you can use to lighten your load on your cells. Now let's move into spiritual application in the minutes I have left. When you do testing to find out what's weighing you down physically, which affects your spiritual life, or it can, shouldn't we also do tests to see what's weighing us down spiritually? Are you listening? What's keeping our spiritual cells from doing their job? Let me give you something, young folks. We need to do some testing. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a naturopath. You can go to any lab now and say, I want a hair test for heavy metals. I want a urine test for heavy metals. I want a blood test for heavy metals. You can, there's some doctors like down here in Theodosia that you can go through. And maybe they have some tests that they will be glad to give you. You can order them online. But what about spiritual things? Look at Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that is because God has been so merciful to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God saves your soul. God sends Jesus to die on the cross for you. God forgives you of all your sins in His love and sends the Lord Jesus to be the basis of your forgiveness, the legal basis of your forgiveness. God goes to all that trouble showing how sin is so horrible. You couldn't even be forgiven of it without the death, a horrible death of the Son of God. Doesn't that grace teach you that you ought to live holy? How dare you say, oh, I think I'm just going to continue to listen to gross things that defy my God, things that just that God hates. I'm just going to listen and immerse myself in communications and people and websites and music that I know God hates and Satan loves. How in the world? That is so unreasonable that you'd be like that. So the Bible says the first thing you got to do is you say, God, I present my body as a sacrifice. It belongs to you. What do you want me to do, God? I'm reporting for duty. I'm like a lamb. But instead of somebody grabbing a lamb and binding it to the altar, what you're to do is you're not to be dragged to the altar of sacrifice. You're to come and lay down and say, God, whatever you want in my life, I'm here. Teach me, God. If this music's wrong, I don't want anything to do with it. If this thing in my life is sin, I don't want anything to do with it, God. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the first thing is you present yourself with surrender. Because if you don't present yourself with surrender, you're not going to know anything. A lot of people say, well, I looked at this. I don't think that's wrong because you're not surrendered to God. Meaning you wouldn't do it if I showed you. If I showed you it was wrong, it wouldn't matter because you are not surrendered to God. But if you go to God and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If that's sin, God, show me. God will show you if you're willing to surrender. Now the second thing after your surrender, be not conformed to this world. That means if I ask you the question, are there things right now that you know are wrong in your life? Are there things that you know are displeasing to God? There's no doubt about that. You can't look at this thing and say, oh, I didn't know that was wrong. No, if there's things that you already know are wrong, after your surrender, say, God, I got to get these out of my life. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The things that you know are right. You say, yeah, I know I should be going to church. I know I should be reading the Bible. I know I should be hanging around with this person instead of this crowd. The things that you know, get them done right now. Because if you don't, you will not be able to get over here to the testing ground. Now we're in the testing. That you may prove, all of this is necessary, these three steps, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now there's some things you say, I'm not sure of. I'm not sure of. I wonder if this music is wrong. I wonder if it's right to watch this movie, listen to this comedian, be around these people, play this type of game, be around this crowd that I'm with. I wonder if this is wrong. What's the stuff in your life that you already know is wrong? You haven't repented of it. And then you're coming as a scorner, with the arms crossed and your nose up and that smart little look on your face and that attitude, says, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. Showing that you haven't been disciplined very much in your life. You need to be able to prove that the music you're listening to is pleasing to God. And when that Lord comes out of the sky, our Lord, with all those thousands of angels clothed all the way down to their feet, and you see that crowd, tens and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels, would you be ashamed to listen to the things you're listening to? There's things that you know are wrong. And I'm telling you this right now, if you don't surrender, if you don't get rid of the stuff that you already know are wrong, that's conforming you to this world, it's making you dress and act and think just like the lost people of this world. If you don't get rid of these things and surrender yourself to God, be willing to do whatever He says, you will never be able to prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God because you will be blinded. That's why you can't see. Sin is blinding you. You got things in your life that you know you shouldn't be doing, and you're doing them anyway. You've got associations and communications in your life that you know should not be there, and you're doing it anyway, and now you can't see. You're dim. You don't have good eyesight. You don't have spiritual eyesight. You can't discern what's right or wrong. You can't discern what's right or wrong. You're not surrendered. You don't want to listen to God. You don't want to repent of what you already know is wrong. So now you're going to be a fool. You're going to fall in the ditch. This morning I got up and said, you know what? I'm going to go up to church and put my slides, get them all ready. But my windshield was covered with a thick thing of ice. Oh, it was so thick. And it's interesting because up here, the vehicles didn't have that on the windshield because it's up here in the sunshine. But down where I'm at, thick ice. So I put on the defroster and got the scraper, did everything I could to get me a little hole. But somehow or another, when I got down around the corner, my hole messed up. So I'm trying to look out the window and I ran right into a ditch over here on the way to church. And it's just boing, and so it's bad. So I got some exercise this morning going back and forth. But I'm going to tell you, why did I fall in the ditch, everybody? Why did I fall in the ditch? Because I couldn't see. I couldn't see. And I'm telling you, you're going to go wrong. You may be already going wrong because you can't discern right and wrong. You can't discern right and wrong because you're not surrendered to God. In other words, you can only know God's will if you say to God, is this right or wrong? If it's wrong, I promise I'll get rid of it. If you're not there, don't even ask God, because you're not going to do it. You got to be surrendered, and you got to get rid of the stuff that you already know is wrong. James says, wilt thou know? Are you willing to know? You're not willing to know. You come into a preacher and you say, you know what, I want to know if this is right or wrong, or at least give me your opinion. Nope, not going to do it. Well, why won't you give me your opinion? Because you wouldn't do it. Even if I showed you, you wouldn't believe it. Your attitude's not right. You're not surrendered to God. John 7 says, the Lord Jesus says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Isn't that something? You willing to do God's will? You willing to do what he says? Then God will show you. He'll give you light. Lay down upon that altar. Tell God you're here to serve. You're bought with a price. What a precious price. The blood of Jesus. Hosea, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. God says, oh, I have some things to teach you. I have some things that are going to cleanse your spiritual life. And you say, I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything else that's bad. That's how you are physically sometimes. Wow, there's some things that could actually clean your body and free you from afflictions. It would be a wonderful thing. You say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's how we are physically. That's how we are spiritually. All right, folks, if you've surrendered, if you say, I'm here to serve God, whatever he wants me to do, whatever he wants me to get rid of, here I am, Lord. And I've already looked at the things that I know should not be there. Now you're ready for higher examination. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 6 says, wherefore come out from among them. Have you come out from among them? Or are you right there with that unsaved, carnal, rebellious crowd? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's things physically you don't want to touch. I don't want any cadmium in my body. I don't want BPA in my body. And there's things spiritually that I don't want to touch. That's lewdness. That's gross. We don't want to go down that. We don't want to be around this stuff. We don't want to watch this stuff. I don't want to watch violence and gore. I don't want to watch lewdness and making light of sin and fornication. I don't want to watch something where they're blaspheming Jesus, using Jesus as a cuss word. Touch it not, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, after you get saved, you need to move on and become a practical, experiential kingdom daughter or son of the Lord. This means God will start dealing with you like you're his son, like you're his daughter. God says, you know what? I want to act like a father to you. I want us to interact together. I want us to be close. I want to give you good things and give you power and use you. I want you to look at it as an honor that we are together. But I can't mess around. I can't fellowship with you when you've got these things in your life, says God. So you lose God's power. You lose His joy. You lose His fellowship. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, the promise of God being a father unto you in a special way, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's the body, and the spirit, that's the inside, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I tell you what, you get fired up about God, you have revival. You say, I've been dead to God. I've been asleep. I need God in my life, and I haven't been doing my part. I've been allowing all kinds of filthiness of the flesh and spirit to be a cloud between me and God. It says in Lamentations, wherefore does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Examine yourself. I tell you what, if you've got an affliction, go get a heavy metal test. One of the first things you ought to do. And one of the first things you ought to do spiritually is start testing to see where you're at with God. He says in 1 John, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a lot of people that tell you, just sin, just do whatever you want. There's no problem. Paul says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That means hold on to it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the Christian life. I don't know what Bible you're reading. You might not be reading the Bible. But that's the Christian life right there. What's pure religion? Visit the widows and the orphans and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. As I close, I'm going to give you two verses. The Bible says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Neither will he go unto the wise. See, I believe when you say, I'm going to keep my sin and I'm not going to be surrendered to God, and now you're blind and you're like, oh, this is good, there's nothing wrong with this, and you just keep going down further into the septic tank or the sewer or hell, and I'm going to tell you something, God, because He loves you so much, is going to start poking you in your conscience. What's left of it? And God is going to bring people into your life, probably your loved ones, probably your pastor, probably some other Christian, and you're going to get reproved. That's wrong. You don't need to be doing that, son. But the scorner does not hear. Neither will he go unto the wise. Before you started getting into this stuff, whatever stuff is, did you go to your pastor and say, hey, what do you think about this? You laugh and say, oh, no, of course not. I know he won't like it. He doesn't like anything. There was a wicked king in the Bible. And a good king came over to him and says, have you gone to the prophet? He said, no, I'm not going to go to him. He hates everything. He hates me. Everything's bad. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's some people in your life. You know who the good Christians are. You know who the people are that are living right. And you know the people that are living loosey-goosey. Why don't you go to some good Christians in your life and say, what do you think of this? And you know what she'll say? She'll say, "Oh, sister, you don't want to mess with this mess." But you know what you say when you get in this realm? You say, "I'm not going to go to that person. I know what they'll say. I know what they'll say. I don't want to hear what they have to say." I tell you what, when God gets done with you, when the devil, when this sin that you think so wonderful, you want to be as dying and go out and see the daughters of the land, you want to just fellowship with all this stuff because you think you're losing out, missing out, I'm going to tell you something. When that sin gets done with you, like with the prodigal, you'll be glad to go to your father. You'll be glad to go to those good Christians. But you're going to have to go through a whole lot of hurting. A whole lot of hurting, a whole lot of scars, and you'll come limping back like Jacob did. Maybe. A lot of people don't come limping back. A lot of people never get the chance to return. A lot of people get killed. A lot of people just get so hardened into sin they never repent. But some people get a chance to come limping back. And they say it's horrible out there. I have a whole list of people. I could almost just give you a notebook of page after page after page. Say, remember this person, remember this person, this person. He came limping back, he came limping back. They might not all stay in his church, but I'll see him on the street sometime. They say, "Pastor Foss, I got to talk to you." I'll say, "What?" I say, "Man, you're just right about what's out there. It all makes sense to me. I can't believe how horrible it is. I can't believe the things I've seen." So I'm going to give you one little bit of heaviness, some advice right now. The Bible says that you need to get rid of every weight because you got a race to run. And I'm going to tell you, there's one weight that will weight you down like crazy. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Because you know what's going to happen? When the good people in your life, when the spiritual people that are trying to do right, when they say something's wrong and you don't want to hear it, you're not just going to go about your way. You're going to start despising them. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. You're going to get envious of the righteous. You're going to begin to slander them. You're going to begin to say bad things about them. You're going to begin to dislike them. Why? Because you're a scorner. You've chosen to be a fool. And God warned Cain and said, "Cain, if you don't fix this attitude, big sins come into your life and destruction." But what did Cain say? He didn't want to hear it. So that Abel, he thinks he's so holy. Look at that Abel. And he ended up killing Abel. I'm going to tell you, it's a weight. This foolishness, this scorning attitude, this rebellion that you have, it's a weight on you. You say, "I'm free because I'm a rebel." You're not free. You're weighted down. You're weighted down with this anger. You're weighted down at this hatred toward anything that's godly and anybody that reproves you. And I'm telling you, the best thing you could do is say, "You know what? This weight is going. I'm going to get this thing off of me. I'm going to get this sandbag, this rock off of me, and I'm going to start having a good attitude. I'm going to surrender to God, and whatever it is, God, I know some of it might hurt me. It'll go against my flesh, but whatever it is, God, I want to be close to you. I don't want this thing. It's going to perish. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be right with you." Dear Holy Father, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that as we wind the corner of this new year, Lord, and we are so close to your second coming, we might not make it to the end of the year before your coming, Lord. And I pray right now that you'll get a hold of some young people and they'll say, "I want to be clean, preacher. I want to be clean. I want to be sanctified. I want to be surrendered unto God. I want to be serious in my Christian life. I want more of God. I want the joy of the Lord. I want the power of the Lord. I want the fellowship of God's Spirit. And I want God's guidance in my life. I want Him to show me and direct me. And I don't go around in circles. And I don't wander down to the pit. And I want God. I want more of Him." Dear Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you awaken some people right now to surrender, awaken some people, Lord, to say, "I need to cleanse my life. I need to cleanse it physically, and I need to cleanse it spiritually. I don't want these associations because God will not fellowship with me when I have these things in my life. I want them out." And oh my, God will begin to direct you. God will begin to guide you. Oh, the Bible says He guides the meek. He teaches the meek His way. I tell you, when you're surrendered to God and you're moldable and God can mold you into what He wants you to be, oh, let Him do it. Let Him do it. All heads bowed right now. Father, I pray that there would be surrender. I pray some people would get a hold of their physical health. They'd get some testing. They would start avoiding, as well as taking some steps to renew their life physically. Oh, but Lord, I pray that You get a hold of some people today spiritually. Lord, if we make a big fire, whether it's on New Year's or whenever we do it, God, let these things be burned. Let us be like in the book of Acts, Father, when those Christians got saved and they didn't want anything dealing with that magic and sorcery and uncleanness and lewdness, Lord, they just burned it. Let us not be like Achan that touched the unclean thing and that Babylonish garment. And God, the whole camp couldn't fight their battles, Lord. And You told Joshua as he's praying that there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Somebody's been touching the unclean thing. God, let us hate it. Let us hate anything that's against You. Let us hate anything that's responsible, like we all are, Father, for putting You on the cross. In Your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.